Hello guys, welcome, welcome.
Hello.
This is Benji.
This is Jima Udine. Welcome to Shut Up Until You're There, or for you or are new. And for those of you who've been with us, welcome back and thank you so much for subscribing with us, following us, checking in, and giving us your feedback. And also, we are starting to pile up together the feedback and people's testimonial on their own Shut Up Until You're There. So at some point, we will be reading them live, because at the time, so what Ben wanted us to do is, while we're recording, do it live so we can view or review some of your guys' testimonial on your own Shut Up Until You're There. I'm reading some of them. I love them.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. So keep coming. I did not realize people would be more comfortable texting us and emailing us versus putting it, which I also understand now. That maybe they don't know who's, you know, don't know their story and they don't want to put it, you know, in the chat. And that's like, okay, so if that's that person sees that comment, then they're going to know for a fact it's me.
Yeah.
So, but thank you. It's confidential. That's why we probably just going to use initial. Nobody's name going to be said. And we'll be talking about this week. We introduce the actual reason for Shut Up Until You're There. Mm-hmm. The introduction was about what Shut Up Until You're There is, mm-hmm. the intention. But it was a reminder last week to say this is a podcast about mental health, mental illness, awareness, and how connecting that with people's upbringing and behavior, you know, impact everything they do, mm-hmm. and how others can judge them, mm-hmm. and misjudge them, which is where we say, shut up until you're there, and the story behind what you see. Mm-hmm. So today, we touch in last segment a little about depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. So especially in the Haitian version of it, we really went a little deep into anxiety because we know how children with anxiety act in society and how people tend to judge them. Mm-hmm. So, and one of the reasons we actually went a little deeper in the Haitian Creole version is because we know how sensitive and how protective Haitian parents can be for the title of a parent and for people seeing them as bad parents. We don't say anything.
The topic is, what is anxiety? What is depression? And I can go and tell you exactly what the symptoms are, right? So, but we'll give you example of cases, personal examples, or examples we've seen within the community. But essentially, like, there's two sides of depression. There is the sad side of it, and then there's the angry side. And the sad mm-hmm. one is typically when someone is more suicidal, they want to hurt themselves, or they involve in self-injurious behaviors. They cut themselves. They're a little bit more impulsive. And then the angry side, the irritated side, the person tends to get angry at anything, like a pen drop. They get angry at it, and they can't seem to control it. Other signs is like you stop enjoying things you used to enjoy. You isolate yourself and your self-esteem goes down. You start to feel bad about yourself, which is interesting because of the way we were brought up. Self-esteem is not something.
I can see your hesitant about touching.
I'm not going to touch that.
But I can see you've been very hesitant about, okay, how do I touch that one?
I'm not going to touch that part. I mean, you know, create your own mind when it comes to the self-esteem within the Haitian culture. Create that on your own, because I'm not going to touch it, because that's high waters. But anyway, and anxiety, the way that it's shown is the heart palpitation. Your heart is beating fast. Oftentimes when if somebody has like a coffee that's like really strong and they start to shake, they like, and they feel like lightheaded or dizzy, or when you haven't eaten, you feel lightheaded or dizzy. So anxiety is kind of like the same symptoms, right? So I'm remembering times where I was either dizzy or feel lightheaded, and I had eaten something, and I would drink some milk. That was prior to understanding what was happening to me, that that was anxiety. I'll drink some milk, or my chest would feel heavy, would hurt. Drink some milk, right? That will make me feel better. Or I'll tell myself, oh, I had the coffee, and the coffee is making me excited. Oh, excited.
Not excited. Love that. She usually does that in the Haitian Creole one.
I know.
Yeah, that's the first.
I know. Okay. So, yeah. So, anxiety, you feel it through your body. Oftentimes, if I'm working with someone and I know there are some symptoms of anxiety, I will typically have them focus on where they feel it the most. Like, or when you're excited about something, you get butterfly in your belly. It's not really a stomach cramp, but it's like butterfly. Your stomach feels like...
different.
Like moving, and it's also not gas. But yeah, so oftentimes when I work with individuals, and what I will say is that, you know, let's focus on the body. How, where do you feel it the most? How do you know that something isn't right? Even though mental health isn't something you can pinpoint, it's not something you can see, it's not something you can touch, but you're exactly, your body experience what your mind feels or goes through. It's residual effect is in your body. That's what we call somatic symptoms. And oftentimes it's something we see within the Islander and immigrant community, is that they have a lot of somatic symptoms. They go to the doctors and doctor runs a bunch of tests and then come back. It's clean. You don't have anything physically wrong with you.
Because you don't.
Because it's more mental health, right? And so there's no understanding for that. So when we think about somebody who's depressed, we do have severe cases. Just like everybody react differently to mental health. Just like somebody can have high blood pressure or diabetes, but they're not on the same stage. Mental health is the same.
Yes.
We don't all experience, even though there are symptoms that tell us that we are experiencing it, we don't all experience mental health the same way.
Which means we can't jump in. Different. Yeah, we can't we can't jump in to say, wait a minute, you don't have depression. And I know I'll be talking and referring to you know, some personal things. And my son was mad at me because he was like, I have depression. I was like, no, you don't. You know, no, you don't have depression, because at the time I was not really well versed to know, wait a minute, just because he's not reacting that way, so just because he's not doing that way doesn't mean that he doesn't have depression. So there's different level, is knowing how to pay attention
to those levels. Yeah. And then depressed, when someone is depressed, sometimes you can tell that they're depressed. You can tell they're physically, well, I mean, I guess if you're in the clinical field, you can tell that they're clinically depressed, because it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain how you can tell for somebody who's not in the, to have that clinical lens. They might see, well, the best way to explain it is to say, you might think the person is just sad or mad.
It's one or the other.
Yeah. And yeah, that's what you might see.
Angry, they're or impatient. Like
when, yeah, when you see a child, when you see a child, like, their face is down and you say, fix your face. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we don't know what's going on with them emotionally. You might know what's going on emotionally, but there might be something, the story behind what you see. Some of the things that I've seen when I worked in a group home, there was a Haitian family, and I noticed that within the Haitian community, bipolar was interpreted as if somebody else is doing this to this child.
Oh, possessed by spirit.
Yeah, they're possessed by...
they're doing it to them voodoo-wise.
Yes, it's voodoo. So there's a lack of understanding that it is... or not really understanding, but a lack of acceptance that this person, there can be something wrong with them mentally. You just don't see it. Therefore, it doesn't exist. If you don't see it, it doesn't exist. And we just want to shed light on certain things to look for. Just like with bipolar, it has like different stages, and there's different categories. Yeah. There's a type 1, there's a type 2, there's mania, there's hypomania, there's there is so much on their bipolar, and we
and
see
it's hard
it
to understand. And it's hard, you know, and sometimes as clinicians ourselves, it's hard to understand certain things because it's like, wait a minute, you have the same thing, but you're not reacting the same way. I see it now. I can even relate that to medical illness. So I have two kids who had sickle cell, right? So one of them, my whole life, or his whole life, his chunk of his life was spent in a hospital. So I can be talking to you right now in my next three couple of months, it's literally in a hospital with him. And the other one, we just knew he had sickle cell.
Yeah.
That's it. So when I found out the other one had sickle cell, I was so anxious. Speaking of anxiety, I was so concerned because one of my concerns is, yes, of course, my another child of mine has sickle cell and I don't know what I'm going to do because I already know what I was going through with the other one all, you know, all the time, you know, having to have strokes, having to have, you know, being threatened for medical intervention that his toe was going to be cut off to put, you know, all that. And then when I hear the other one, but two different things.
Yeah.
So how do you understand that? So that's the mystery that I'm going to put God in. Benji was like, no, not happening. So it's difficult, let's just say, a parent who hear what depression is. It's somebody who's not eating, somebody who's not doing this, somebody who's not doing that, is not showing an interest in hanging out with friends. So because this is what that parent knows, right? And then the parent have a child who has depression, but that child is on the other side of that.
Yep. It's hard to look at the other person and say, oh, because this person is not experiencing it this way, then it's just the it's the kid being a bad kid, essentially. Which I've mentioned before, there's no such thing as a bad kid.
You're not calling anybody bad kids.
No, yeah. It's just their behavior. Or bad person, it's just their behavior, right?
So, I have two of my children who suffer from depression. One of them is a very active, very engaged, and smiling all the time. And you would not have known that he suffered from depression. You know? So, he just got hospitalized about a week ago.
Yeah.
I just experienced a, you know, very tough week, which what we call the shock on the mind, which I also, we each have our own mental health support, which we're supposed to. And so my son, one of the things that his school staff had told me, but he's always, you know, engaging. He's so sociable. You wouldn't know.
You wouldn't. Those are what I call suffering silence. But part of it, you know, society do play a big role because society is now, there's a big movement around mental health, but society, there's a lot of stigma that comes, especially in the immigrant and islander population. There's still a lot of trigger. People are very afraid of saying they have a mental health disorder because for some reason it's worse than a physical health, right? It's worse, so it's easier to ignore it. It's easier to pay attention to it. But it also brings to light that the fact that we don't communicate about our feelings or emotions. So how would we know that we have a mental health disorder when it's behaviorally, right? It's behaviorally, it's more emotions, and you do feel it in your body. You do, and that's why you go to the doctor and they tell you there's nothing wrong with you. Like that is mental health.
Like the body count the score, that's a book.
Yes, which is a nice book. The body the score.
So like you were saying in I remember going up and we were talking about that. So when you go to the doctors because you have that stomach ache all the time. I used to suffer from heavy migraine all the time years back. I was back home. It was not until recently I realized, one, it was anxiety, two, depression, three, a separation anxiety.
Yeah.
Because my mom had just left Haiti. I was living with my father that I knew him, but I barely knew him.
Yep, separation anxiety.
You know, I was having, yes, family, that's what I was having. Separation anxiety.
Yes.
I didn't know that's what it was because none of the things that I was going through after my mom left Haiti that I know before that. Because she grew up with her. She raised me until she left Haiti. And then, and at that point, all hell broke loose. Yeah. So I used to have headaches. I used to have back pains. So all those symptoms, right? So what happens in our community, when you go to the doctors, then they check you and they say everything is fine. Mm-hmm. We say, what do we say?
It's not fine. It's not fine.
They're doing, somebody else is doing something to us. It's voodoo. They send a zombie, you know, the spirit is, you know, possessing, you know, our body. And it's something else because they cannot explain it. Yes, they cannot explain it because it's not physiological.
Yeah.
It's not medical.
It's not fine.
It's here because it was here for me. I did not know I was missing my mom. I did not know all this thing. And I was forcing myself to live with someone. Yes, that was my father, but I didn't know that guy. I didn't know, you know, adjusting. Yes, I used to visit him, but now I'm going to adjust to this setting, right?
I mean, let's take a moment to just like reflect and pause. Like, your main person that you have an attachment with.
My whole person. My whole life.
Is automatically and all of a sudden gone. And now you're forced to just readjust and without, just deal with the new situation without having an adjustment period of time.
And also, we are not in a community, as you know, and most of you know, who's going to sit down and say, okay, this is going to be the changes. And I ended up having to go to live with my father because there wasn't any other choice, right? Because the older brothers that I used to be with, I was scared of, they used to abuse me. Mm-hmm. So now it's either I stay with the abusers or I go to somebody that I don't know.
Yeah.
Saying, yes, I know the person who was my father.
But that doesn't mean you know the person.
But I didn't know him. So I am going to live. It's just like my head was sending signals that I didn't realize that's what it was. So I am leaving, and the person who actually raised me, whom I known, whether I agree with certain things she did or not, but she's leaving. But that's what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going somewhere that I'm going to be adjusted myself to a new environment and thinking about, come to think of it, are the things that used to happen to me and my brother abusing me going to happen to me there? And now I'm really not going to have anybody.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot to go through and not make the connection that that's going to have some mental health. This is what we brought to you. And I know it's not a lot. We can go a lot deeper. I mean, we could talk all day about anxiety and depression, but we can't keep
little by little
that long, right? And we'll always, you know, talk about these things. This is not the last time you're going to hear about it, right? So for today, this is a topic we want to talk about. We wanted to talk about. This is a topic we brought to you. So we want you to think about any moment of time that you yourself didn't feel well, didn't feel okay, and ask yourself, what are you experiencing? What are the emotions that's come up for you? Do you feel sad? Do you feel angry? Or is your heart popping?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel, you know, oftentimes you can
have sweaty
hands, or the next time that you feel like you feel lightheaded and you feel like you're gonna pass out.
Sometimes you can't breathe.
You can't breathe and you feel like everything is closing in. Really ask yourself what's going on. Really ask yourself, is this a physical condition or is this something deeper that I need to look in? Ask yourself that and see if you can figure out what's going on with yourself. And let's start to change the way we view mental health. Let's try to change that.
Yeah. But
for today, that's all we have for you. And Jim, I will tell you where you can reach us.
So before we do that, it's just that in knowing yourself and those around people who are going through things like this, that's what Shadow Until Today is about. We're not judging. We're not jumping into conclusion because the person who's behaving certain ways, that's their story that you don't know. There's always a story behind what you see. Because, you know, connect with us, YouTube channel, all the connection, the platform that are here, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Those of you who like to text and email us, continue to do that. And all the other platforms that the podcast is on is listed right there. And until between now and then, anybody who come across, you don't understand what's going on, then just shut up
until you're there. See you later. Thank you.